Good morning, everybody. It's Marietta Tyler. Today I have Brandon Redlinger from the San Francisco Bay Area. He manages growth at a company called Engageo. And without, you know, taking away from his thunder, because Engageo is a company that we've been watching for quite some time in terms of the new way of looking at selling, account-based, I think they call it everything. Is that correct, Brandon? Account-based everything?
Yeah, account-based marketing, account-based everything. Yep.
Yep. So Brandon's going to share with us his experiences in working in this area of the funnel. Again, top, a little bit of middle, top funnel, which is where we want to focus. And I'm hoping that you, by listening to Brandon, you'll come away with some real key takeaways and some educational points that you can apply right away. We're ending the 2017 right now, going into kind of like the glide into 2018. I call it the glide path, because it's the time to reflect on what we did well in 2017 and what we want to do for 2018. So I wanted Brandon to come on because I know that there'll be some nuggets of information that we can internalize and start incorporating into our planning for 2018. Welcome to the show, Brandon.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
So you have been at the sort of beginning of all of the kind of hype around account-based marketing, account-based selling. Can you help us by defining what you, when you envision account-based marketing, selling, everything, what is it exactly that you envision, or what is it exactly that definition of this term?
Yeah, for sure. So account-based, again, we call it account-based everything. We also call it account-based marketing. I'll start off with giving a little bit of a reason why we actually say account-based everything as well as account-based marketing. So account-based marketing, it really is a strategic business initiative. It's not just for marketing, even though it has marketing in the title, right? So a lot of times, a lot of people will say, oh, it's just for marketing. Whereas if you really want to be successful with account-based strategies in general, you know, let's broaden that a little bit and just let's call it account-based everything. So whether you want to call it account-based marketing or account-based sales development, you know, even success these days, customer success, and, you know, account and client management, with these bigger B2B deals, these bigger companies in the enterprise, they are going account-based. So we're seeing companies these days pushing account-based customer success. So again, we call it account-based marketing or account-based everything. But essentially, you know, to us, it really is this strategic approach. It's coordinated between your different functions, and it's really personalized and relevant. So rather than, you know, one size fits all messaging, it's going to be really specific and targeted to the person on the other end. And then you can use it to, you know, at the top of funnel, really to open doors, or you can actually use it lower in the funnel, or even for account expansion, you know, upsell, cross sell, that sort of thing.
Okay. So I'm an old timer. You probably know this. So in the olden days, we used to call something like this, or maybe it's not, I want you to correct me. We used to call it strategic selling, where we would have our dream 100 accounts, call them that. Like for instance, when I was in sales, I had six accounts, period. And that's all I sold into with the $2 million quota. And so those would be my strategic accounts. So I would map each out individually. Of course, this is pre-internet. So we had the phone, we had the mail, and we had face-to-face. I had accounts all over the country, though, so face-to-face was a little bit tough. But what I did was I strategized on each. We coordinated efforts between the team. We personalized all of the communication because I only had six accounts. And we made it so that it was relevant. So is strategic selling, or the old term strategic selling, similar to account-based if you wanted to put things in a bucket? Or is it because now with the technology, making things more specific from a generalized nature is what constitutes account-based?
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of the principles, you're right, absolutely, 100% the same. It's targeted. It's a smaller set of accounts. They're bigger deals, more complex sales cycles.
Right.
But yeah, these days, so I think why ABM kind of really, we've seen this explosion in the last, you know, 5-7 years is that, you know, marketers kind of did what they do best, and and they really took this idea and started to really promote this idea, right? Okay. So before, yeah, sales in the enterprise, absolutely, they were always strategic, they were always account-based. But what we're really seeing these days is marketing's getting involved. Marketing wants a seat at the table now, right? Okay. So marketers are really taking more revenue responsibility. And when you're in B2B, when you're selling enterprise deals, it has to be that way. So now we're seeing marketing kind of stepping up and taking a little bit more ownership. And they just coined the term account-based marketing and you know, kind of did what they did in marketing and started to market the term itself as well. And so that's my take on it, at least.
Okay. So similar in nature, we have a lot more tools. So the stack is yes. more involved now than it was back in the day. And we still have our dream accounts. So account-based yep. selling is strategic selling in a lot of ways. And then account-based marketing is where the marketers are getting involved to help us get better at that sales conversation. And what I like to think of it as strategically placing conversation snippets based on behavior, which we can track now, mm-hmm. and also based on relative position in the pipeline. So we know who to talk to, what to say, when to say it, and how to get them to move from position to position based on the buyer behavior.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And what I love is, yeah, now these days with all this technology, marketing really is able to help sales, you know, open doors at accounts a lot more effectively because they have all this intelligence, or they're able to use, you know, some predictive modeling and you know, engagement scoring to figure out what are those accounts that are, you know, that we should be going after in the first place. So again, right. all this technology that marketing has at its disposal is mm-hmm. really helping sales. So sales should definitely be as excited as anyone for, you know, call it ABM or ABE.
Right, right. And the other thing is with the alignment of marketing and sales, sales is still responsible for the conversation, that what I call the belly to belly, you know, you're across the table from your guy, your gal, and you're having a conversation. You as a salesperson are wrapping up that conversation, and that intelligence that you gleaned in that conversation can now be fed back to marketing so that marketing can take that and run it against their analytics, their what if scenarios, and make sure that the next time you have a conversation, not only have you warmed it up because you prepared the prospect, but you're going to have a more in-depth and probably more relevant conversation as the result of you sharing information back and forth between sales and marketing.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. And a lot of times too, what happens, yeah, you're right. So sales, you know, they're nose to nose, toes to toes with some of their customers. And then it's right. a big account. There are, you know, hundreds of people within that account. Then some people might come inbound. Someone who the sales rep has no ideas even on the radar, right? So right. they come inbound. Marketing says, oh, this is already part of this account. Let me actually reach out to, you know, Rick over here. Hey, Rick, guess who just came inbound? He's actually one of your target account. Or he's right. part of your target account. He's one of your ideal personas. Mm-hmm. Here's the content he's been engaging with. Here's all right. this relevant information. Maybe you should loop him in. So, yeah, you're right. Marketing gets to be able to help sales have those more relevant conversations. And then marketing is actually getting involved, you know, later in the sales cycle as well. So we've seen a big resurgence in things like field marketing.
Right.
So it's no longer just this handoff. All right. This lead I'm going to deem, you know, qualified, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. And now sales, it's your job to close it. Now it's like, okay, great. I'm on the line for more revenue responsibility. How can I help you down funnel as well? So we're going to do some field events for executives or, you know, executive workshops or any of these other things to really help this deal move along as well. So it's, marketing getting involved later, but also sales getting involved earlier. That's what I love is it's this real team approach.
Right. Yeah. Because when you, traditionally, the way we think of marketing is casting the wide net. I think even in predictable revenue, the book in 2011, Aaron and I mentioned it as casting the wide net, but it's really not that way anymore. There are segments. Account-based marketing is a segment. Yes, they do still cast a wide net for what I call the minnows, you know, to make sure they get awareness and build the things that marketing does traditionally. But now we're getting and actually scaling that inward so that we are getting more specific, more strategic to the actual account level. And from what I've been reading about Engageo, you can actually get like specific, their own webpage kind of thing to each account, which is amazing, amazing advances.
Yeah, 100%, exactly. And actually, that's a great distinction. So a lot of times, people think marketing, inbound, you know, content, demand gen is one thing.
Right.
And then ABM or account-based strategies is something else. And it's one or the other. And the way that we look at it at Engageo is you actually need both.
Right. You do.
So we do want to cast that really wide net. Mm-hmm. And, you know, get people who we may not know should be even on our radar while still going after those people who we know we want, our key account, our key 100.
Yes. And the way I explain it is, to my folks is there are five levels of awareness, and account-based marketing really helps breathe out all those five levels of the fact that they may not be aware of you, your product, they have a problem, all the way up to not only are they aware, but they actually sought you out. And traditionally, marketing would go after those higher levels with the casting the wide net of people who are interested and ready to start executing the conversation. Whereas we need those three lower levels of not aware, problem aware, and situation aware. You know, they don't even know they have a problem, and they know that to the where they know they have a problem, but they're not sure who the solution is. So having all those five levels covered allows us to not only reach more people, but reach more people with value and then segment them in a way that the reps, sales reps, will have meaningful conversations with those accounts who are high probability of closing, high likelihood of being a long-time customer, which is really where we want to get because that gets you the revenue you need.
Absolutely. Exactly. I love it.
So let's leave top of funnel for a while, even though that's my passion. And, and you mentioned, which I love this idea, you mentioned the cross-sell, upsell. So tell us about that side of life and how this is changing now with account-based marketing.
Yes, for sure. So again, when we're selling these larger accounts, there's actually a lot of different, call it buying units, within a big account. So, you know, if you're selling into GE or Google or Dell or whoever it is, you know, it's not one person buys for the entire company, right? So it's a global account. They have so many divisions that you could be selling into. So, you know, let's sell our product to this one division, and then maybe we can sell that to a different division. So now it's actually a lot more working with relationships inside that account. So how do I manage? How do I navigate? How do I figure out this deal? This really, again, it's a really complex deal. How do I kind of maneuver within that to build that relationship to expand? Or it could be the case that, okay, great, now I'm in, I've sold our flagship product, but now I have all these other products that I could be selling to. So it may be still someone in, Dell North America or Dell Americas, whatever it is. And there's another team in there, in that, you know, Dell North America, that could be using one of our other products. So let's look at our intelligence tool. Let's look at, you know, in our case, you know, we use Engageo for this is, all right, great. So there's this other buying unit that is interested in this other problem that we solve as well. And they might be in the same office as the person you just sold to. So how can we leverage the current buying unit that we just sold to break into this other buying unit? So there's all these different buying units and really this account-based, account management, call it, strategy. is actually huge. So when you're selling to, you know, enterprise deals, you could 70%+ of your business could come from expansion. It's not going to come from new business.
Exactly. And the other thing is, this also can help with, once you have a product, I'm working with a regional bank here locally, and they're trying to figure out how people move through their product suite. So we're using that intelligence to figure out not only how they came in the door, what product or service, but what's the logical map of products that we can introduce to them in a very authentic and meaningful way, so that when they're ready, they're going to start embodying those other products to increase lifetime value. So not only leveraging who to speak to within the other areas of the actual company, but also what is the natural product progression life cycle of adding more products to the suite so that we retain lifetime value?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. And, another thing to mention too is, Engageo is one of these tools that's going to give you this, insight into the account. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be able to, you'll plug it into Salesforce and market, or your CRM and your marketing automation system. And then, you put a pixel on your website, you'll hook it up with your Google Apps. So you're really tracking all of these different touch points that a customer has with your company. And you're able to see, the deal closed, and then they're using this part of the product, your product, but they haven't even touched this other side yet. But this other side of the product is where a lot of people see value. So maybe our customer success team should look into that a little bit more. Or maybe they're spending too much time on this one page and they're stuck there, so they haven't progressed through the full onboarding yet. So how do we get this account really successful so that they don't churn? Because, in SaaS business, as you know, obviously, in SaaS businesses, retention is a huge part of it.
Right. And I don't remember the numbers. You can correct me. It's like 6 times more expensive to get a new client than to keep an existing one or something like that.
Exactly.
It's kind of a no-brainer to invest in that side of things. It's not my area of expertise, but, it's definitely... I have a few clients that are not even focusing on business development. They're focusing on lifetime value of continuing to engage the client with more product and services that are meaningful to them at the time they need them, but giving them that natural progression of being a long-term client.
Yeah.
So that's great. I love that.
A lot of VCs these days, like they actually look at like growth less, and they look at retention a lot more. So what's your gross retention and what's your net retention? So are you able to actually expand into your account? So, is your dollar size going up? And then of your logos, how many of those are you actually retaining? So that's actually just as important as a number to VCs these days, because they realize how important that is for a company's success is retention.
Right. So, we're kind of getting close to our out of time indicator. So tell us what's on the horizon, that your prediction for 2018 and beyond about how this is going to evolve, and where do you see account-based marketing positioned as we move forward into 2018 and beyond?
That's a great question. I actually just published a post yesterday on other people's predictions, but you know what? I didn't include my own in there.
Well, go edit that thing.
I know, right? Well, I think, so this is a really new space yet, right? So, I mean, we're 5-7 years into it, but it's so new. It's so young yet. And there are so many, technologies popping up, and there's a lot of hype around it. So I actually think, people are actually going to get ABM wrong in the next few years. A lot of people are going to just jump onto the bandwagon and blindly do it because they heard another company doing it successfully. Right. So, I actually think it's going to get worse for some companies before it gets better. So I'm very bullish in the long term about account-based marketing, account-based everything, these account-based strategies, because I really do think it is the way to go if you're doing B2B sales and marketing. But I think people have to really be careful in the next few years to figure out, is this the right thing for our business and our business model? Do the economics make sense? And let's make sure I have the foundation in place before I get going with it. So a lot of people, they love to just jump right in with, you know, ABM ads and direct mail. Whereas if they don't have the foundation of like lead to account matching, making sure all of the leads and contacts are mapped to the right accounts, making sure their sales and marketing are really aligned, making sure that you've selected the right accounts in the first place. You have to do all of that before you do the fun, sexy stuff like, you know, what's the most creative package I can send? Well, let's send them some Dom Perignon and, you know, handwritten note. Like, that's the fun stuff that people love doing. But right. If you don't have that foundation, you're setting yourself up for failure.
So the message here is planning is very important.
Yes.
And if there are some tools that we can include in your page on my website for planning purposes, because I'm a big fan of planning versus execution in terms of plan it first, because planning is cheap and other than time and brain power. But if you start executing before you have a solid plan, it's like my house. You know, I have a deck that was built on my house that when it rains, the water goes into the house instead of out. Because they put the deck up quickly and didn't think about sloping and things like that. So, you know, fast forward, we're going to have to replace the entire deck. So what I would like to see if we can include on the page is, you know, what kind of planning tools, simplified checklists and things that you recommend for us to start, because I think account-based marketing is definitely an important part of being a high revenue company. And there are different segments of accounts that you want to master. There's the minnows, there's the sharks, there's the whales, you know, and I think once we understand the relationship between all those, this type of option makes sense for a lot of companies. Now, some people start, I have one client that started with enterprise and is working down, which is unusual. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of companies who are small, medium business working up. So they're trying to get into the enterprise and trying to get account-based marketing going. So I think if we can include some of those checklists or point someone in the right direction, it's like, how do I plan for this thing? Where should I start? That would be very helpful, Brandon.
Yes, absolutely. So we actually have a guide that our co-founder wrote. So for people who don't know, the co-founder of Engageo is also previously the co-founder of Marketo, who anyone in the marketing space is going to know.
Marketo,
you know,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, the biggest player in the marketing and automation space. He left Marketo a few years ago, and after being there for 9-ish years, he left Marketo to start Engageo because he saw this very thing is, you know, account-based marketing is the future for B2B marketing. So he put out the definitive or the clear and complete guide to account-based marketing. And you can get that if you go to engageo.com/ABM-guide. You can download it for free there. It's 130 plus pages. Perfect. And it really is everything that you need to know from start to finish. And, you know, John is really all about educating the market right now. It's not going to be, we're going to pitch you every other page. There's hardly even a pitch in there, actually.
So
there's a lot of great information, and it's all foundational. These are all things that you need to do to set up. It's really your roadmap to getting started with ABM. And we write about that on our blog 2 times a week. So engageo.com/blog.
Right. Those are great tools. And really, truly, when we're working through a new concept like this, understanding the basics, putting together a plan, thinking about your environment, because you're unique in how you sell and in the accounts that you service, and figuring out where you want to start. Like I said, like we talked today, I mean, top of funnel is business development is my passion. It's what I wake up every morning loving. But there is also a cross-sell, upsell at the end of the rainbow when you already have the client. And so this particular type of process and strategy works there equally as well. So, you know, there's a couple places you want to definitely deploy it And starting, if you're just learning this, starting with the basics of the guide, I think is the best way to go. So I'll make sure that that sits inside of your page for the podcast, Brandon. And then from there, how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, I think the best way to get a hold of me is if you just go to LinkedIn. I'm the only brand. I think I'm the only Brandon Redlinger, but yeah, there might be imposters out there. I don't know. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn, or just shoot me an email, Brandon@engageo.com. I'm always happy to chat with people.
Perfect. And you do a lot of posts. So, you know, I would definitely sign up if you're interested in doing this, sign up and learn from them, because there's a lot of great material out there. And the smarter you are and the more prepared you are when you go into your planning sessions, the more successful you'll be on execution. Brandon, thank you so much for your time today. Wish you a very happy holiday and look forward to seeing what you guys do in 2018.
Great. Thank you so much.